This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Believe it or not, there's a handful of stations in the ACC footprint that have picked up this show, which is truly remarkable. Remarkable. So,
and appreciate it.
Yeah.
And appreciate it.
Well, more the merrier. Come on board.
That's it.
Pull up a chair.
Yeah. All right. The ACC, by the way, is celebrating Spring Unity Week. Emphasis this time. Remember, it's a fall, winter, and spring recognition. And activism through sports is the emphasis this week. And you may be hearing about that as we go through championships and regular season games as well. We start the around the ACC here on this Monday with congratulations to Dan Fisher and Pittsburgh Volleyball.
Great win.
Because the Panthers win a 5-set thriller out in Omaha yesterday. They beat Minnesota, who had earlier beaten Georgia Tech in straight sets. And the Panthers advanced to the regional final for the first time in program history. So congratulations to Dan Fisher in Pittsburgh, Pack.
Since Dirt, another one. Kayla Lund, one of our favorites on the show, getting the job done. And you almost feel like last year was a season at Pitt being able to host the event. Thought they could win it all, right?
Yep.
And they got knocked out early. And you almost wonder. You keep hearing about chip on shoulder and the drive of, hey, unfinished business. Kind of feels that way with this Pitt volleyball team. That, you know, we let one get away last year. We got something to prove in Omaha. That was a great win. Minnesota, the 3 seed, legit. So Pitt moves on. Just a tremendous win for the ladies. And I mentioned Coach Fisher. He was on with us last week or 2 weeks ago previewing all this stuff. And could not be happier for them. And to be honest with you, Wes, Louisville was in a great spot yesterday. They were up 11-5 in the 5th set and just could not close the deal, unfortunately. So Louisville got eliminated yesterday. But Pitt alive and well. And we'll see what happens. Could be a cool story.
Yeah, the Cards, you're right. 11-5 lead in the 5th, lost 15-13. So Louisville's season comes to an end. No Danny Busboom Kelly and the Cards incredibly disappointed at the way this happened. But number 6, Washington moves on, and that's who Pittsburgh plays, by the way, in the regional final. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. In the volleyball action out in Oklahoma, or I should say Nebraska in Omaha.
Right.
Let's pivot to field hockey. Remember how good field hockey was, and remember how good North Carolina is? Remember that? We talked about that a lot.
Hasn't changed.
They needed overtime to – yeah. They needed overtime to get Syracuse over the weekend. 4-3 in the extra session. Yep. And guess who had a hat trick? The GOAT.
She's unbelievable.
Erin Mattson. Oh, man.
We need to get Erin back on the show. She is a trip to talk to. She's great, really fun, energetic, and, I mean, just a great player. Not good. Great players. It just happens. You know, there's certain players, regardless of sport, where things just happen. When he or she touches it, that's Erin Mattson, and that's North Carolina field hockey. And Karen Shelton just doing her thing. Tell you what, if they win another one, if they win another one, Wes, I want another one of those sticks in here. It's a great back rub, and we got them sitting right over here in the corner. We just collect them like she does. National championship field hockey sticks.
North Carolina Wake Forest is Friday at 1 o'clock in the automatic qualifier, much like we saw over the weekend with Clemson and Pittsburgh in soccer. Women's lacrosse. Carolina's pretty good at that, too. They beat Virginia 15-4. Caitlin Wurzberger, a big game, 6 points to set a season scoring high for the 2nd consecutive game. 21 straight wins now for Carolina in women's lacrosse.
You know, they had the scare against Notre Dame in the rain, which was on ACC Network. They went 11-10, I think was the final. But for the most part, the baby blue and white, they just roll, man. They're just high flying, score a ton, having a blast, 21 straight. They're just rolling. Jenny's really done a great job. Again, no surprise.
Yep.
But the league is the league is ridiculous. I'm just telling you. And I'm starting to become a lacrosse fan. I watched more lacrosse this weekend than I did of anything else.
Oh, you and Roddy Jones.
I'm just telling you, I'm getting into it.
You and Roddy
it.
Jones have become lacrosse guys.
I am totally getting into it. And Thursday nights, I keep telling you, Thursday nights on ACC Network have become appointment viewing. It's like Friday night duels.
There you go.
Right, wrestling. Lacrosse on Thursday night on this network, or you got to watch it. I mean, it's unbelievable how exciting this sport is. It's great.
Let me ask you a question. Have we had Valerie Cagle on this show yet from Clemson? Did I miss that along the way somewhere?
We haven't. We had Coach Rittman on about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I brought up Valerie's name because she had such a crazy weekend. She had thrown a no-hitter and hit one out of the park, and I mean, she's unstoppable. And lo and behold, guess what? She had another one.
She did it again.
Two in a week.
Oh, my God.
Is that any good?
She threw two no-hitters in a week.
Right.
Clemson beat Boston College 6-0. 9 strikeouts. Not a single batted ball reached the outfield off the bat of Valerie Cagle.
Well, let me say something.
I mean, come on.
Let me just say something.
The ball didn't get to the outfield?
Let me say something here. For all you softball nuts out there, and there's a bunch of them, there are two teams. I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Virginia Tech because they're having a great year. And by the way, Keely threw a no-hitter this weekend too. Keely Richard, who's been on our show. She's great too.
Yeah.
The Hokies are out of sight. But in this league right now, Florida State and Clemson.
And Clemson.
Are on a winning streak. Florida State's won 15 in a row.
Wow.
Clemson's won 12 in a row. They're 1-2 in the league. Virginia Tech is third. Ironically, Wes, Florida State and Clemson will not see each other in the regular season. I mean, they are on fire, both these two teams. And the ironic thing is, both of them, Florida State and Clemson, played a 3-game series against Virginia Tech, and both of them lost 2 of 3 to the Hokies. And remember, Duke got off to a great start. They'd won 20 in a row. Remember, we had that big Duke-Clemson series in softball? The league's got some cool storylines in softball. I'm just telling you. But Cagle and Keely Richard had awesome weekends. What else is new? It seems like every weekend they do it.
Yeah. Let's jump to the softball scoreboard, by the way, from the weekend. Florida State beat Syracuse 3-2 and 13-1, where I told you Clemson knocked out Boston College 6-0. Duke over Louisville 5-4. Virginia Tech shuts out Georgia Tech. And Pitt beat North Carolina 11-7. That's the Sunday scoreboard. Quickly go from the circle to the diamond. ACC baseball. Miami walked it off against Clemson over the weekend, 3-2. Tony Jenkins, a game-ending sack fly last night to win it for the Canes. Here's some highlights from Mark Light at Alex Rodriguez Park, home of the milkshakes. I like the clean whites from Miami on a Sunday.
It was also the home of a big orange and green broom because that's what they did to the Clemson baseball program. Swept him right out of town. Kind of like my San Francisco Giants, Wes. They were also in Miami and somehow won yesterday 1-0 to survive being swept. Yeah. So a tough weekend for the Tigers. But that was a series Miami had to have. And they get the sweep and the only sweep in the ACC over the weekend in baseball.
You see Duke beat Wake 11-7, BC 5, Florida State 3. Georgia Tech took 2 of 3 at Blacksburg, 11-4 yesterday, the final, after they played Friday night in a smooth 4 hours and 26 minutes. North Carolina beat Pittsburgh 10-9. Notre Dame, I think, got 2 of 3 from NC State.
Did.
Is that right, Pat?
That's correct. Notre Dame, that's all they do. They win 2 of 3 every weekend,
no matter who
they're playing.
Yep. And Louisville beat Virginia 8-2. So there's a quick check of the Sunday card in ACC baseball. All right. Before we get to break and Gina Kim at 8:15, here are the top plays from the weekend in ACC. And we're going to start with Clemson outfielder Mackenzie Clark. Back. Here you go. Mackenzie charges. Rope to the dish. How about that? That's about as far as you used to hit the wedge over there.
That's about as far as I hit the 5-iron. That was a laser beam, man. You kidding me? It was on the money.
All right. Alex Toral of Miami over the weekend against the Tigers. In left field, there's the track behind the fence. In right field, there's a parking garage, and that is over it or on it. Take your pick.
Matter of fact, that ball landed in my yard, and I live in Charlotte.
Jeez.
Man, that was a bomb.
Look at that.
That's a bomb. You know it's deep when nobody on the defensive side moves. Like, nobody, they didn't even look right, up at it. It was just like, yeah,
that's right.
That's going to hit the car. That's going to hit a moving car.
Yeah.
Going to land on the beach.
Quinn McNeil makes top plays for Clemson. Taking care of things against Pittsburgh Saturday night. Look at this.
Right place,
bang.
Right time.
Caught it off the bounce.
Yep. League's pretty good in soccer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to tell you.
Ooh.
Pitt Clemson, I'm going to just say, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if we played that one more time. I'm just saying.
Yep.
That would not be a surprise.
Let's finish up with lacrosse. Connor McCarthy on a Saturday big-time showdown. Carolina, Syracuse, Tar Heels in the Navy.
No, that's
Connor
not
McCarthy
Navy.
Cleans up the rebound.
No, that's not Navy, Wes. That's black. That's black.
Oh, is that black?
Yeah, that's black with silver helmets.
Oh, it is black.
Yeah, first time they wore
chrome.
Black and silver. You know, the black and silver of North
chrome
Carolina.
Helmets. Yeah, chrome helmets. Yeah. Carolina going black and chrome, maybe not your style pack.
Not my style, but I'll tell you what, the style in terms of the unis wasn't great for me, but they were great. I mean, that was an absolute woodshed. North Carolina
there
put it on, and that was my man, voice of victory, awfully quiet, Josh Macri. They are, you know, those Syracuse guys, they're not used to somebody coming in their house and just woodshedding them. That does not happen very often.
No doubt. A quick reminder to you, Thursday night will be 1 week away from the NFL draft. And Kelsey Riggs, back from vacation with Mark Herzlich and Coach Mark Richt, have coach speak. ACC coaches talking about their players and their potential at the next level. Special edition of The Huddle. Thursday night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, we will talk to one of the top female golfers in the country and an ACC champion. Gina Kim and Duke did it again yesterday at Sedge Field. And we will talk to Gina next when Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, continues in a moment on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Welcome to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
There you go. New York Life, getting the job done. Title sponsor of Packer and Durham, right here on ACC Network. Speaking of titles,
yep.
Wes, our next guest.
Shoot.
She wins so often that I wonder if it ever gets old. It probably doesn't. Let's bring on Gina Kim, who joined us in one of the very first shows we ever did, starting this bad boy and starting this network back in August of 2019. Gina joins us. Gina, first of all, good morning and welcome back to the show. And congratulations, ACC Championship again. It doesn't get old, does it?
Thank you. No, it doesn't. You know, our team loves this type of experience.
Gina, when you go through the ACC championship and the stroke play that leads to the match play, I know that's the way the national tournament's set up. I know you guys play a lot of match play, and you play, obviously, stroke play events during the course of the regular season. But is there something different about the ACC championship when you get to that kind of environment?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I got to play when it was only 3 rounds of stroke play. And now with this being the first year with match play in there, it definitely has a similar feeling to nationals. And I think that's what made our team win even more special.
Let me ask you about, we were talking about stroke play versus match play last week. And I said to Wes, I think that you find out who the best player is with stroke, but with match, you know what? Somebody gets hot, makes 6-7 birdies, they could still shoot 82. But man, if they make 7 birdies, that's a problem. You are terrific in both. Obviously, you're a great player. What do you like better and why?
Oh, gosh. It's kind of a hard question, but I would say I love match play. I like you said, anything can happen in match play, and I think that's what makes it so fun. I love feeding off the energy from my teammates. I love giving part of my energy to my teammates. You know, I really feel like match play, it's all about, you know, energy and having a good mentality for it. So, you know, it really tests the mental side of it, which I felt like was really important for us. And that's, I think that's my favorite format.
Yeah, it's funny the way it all kind of moves from hole to hole, right? Because in match play, you're just playing to win the hole. It's not the, you know, I got to make birdies or whatever the case may be. It's about the, it's just about the singular hole, right?
Yes. Yes. It's about staying in the moment, staying in the present. Even when I played against Virginia, I made a good number of mistakes, actually. And when I got to the back nine, I realized, you know, the past holes don't really define what's going to happen moving forward. So I need to, you know, reset my mind and start, you know, taking lead of the match here, because, you know, this girl's playing her way, grinding it out, and I got to make sure I could do whatever to help the team.
Gina, I'm curious. The buildup last week was all about Duke and Wake, right? So Wake Forest is great, Duke's great, and Florida State's really good too. We were talking about top five teams nationally. And the expectation was, we're going to have a Wake Forest-Duke match play ACC championship. And to Florida State's credit, they knocked off the Deacons on Saturday. From a mental standpoint, did it matter, or did you have to adjust given the fact that you probably thought at some point in time, you know what, we're going to see Wake Forest in match play, but you didn't. So mentally, how did you adjust on that, and was that that big a deal?
You know, we've seen Wake Forest this whole season. So we were already mentally prepared to meet them. But like I said before, you know, match play, anything can happen. And that's the beauty of it. So our coach constantly reminded us, you know, regardless of who we meet in the finals, we still got to keep the same game plan and stick to the routine and just constantly put pressure on the other team to make the mistakes. So I don't think it was that hard to, you know, put our focus on Florida State after they managed to beat a really good team. And I think that's what helped us stay focused during the final matches.
Gina, in the finals, you had to square off in match play against Beatrice Wallen, who I know is also a very talented player in our league. You won the match 3-2. But when you know you're going to see somebody who's pretty good, and we talk about the team concept and the energy, how do you channel that while also trying to stay focused on your opponent?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely difficult. Obviously, as much as I cared about my match, I was looking around to see how other people were doing. But I also knew that my match was pretty important, because by the time I got to the 13th hole, I saw my two teammates in front of me already won their match. So I had to do something to clinch this title, or at least give positive energies to the people behind me. So, you know, I made it very intentional that I was screaming my head off and, you know, doing whatever I can to just keep the positive energy up. And I think that's what helped my teammates behind me rally and just get a clean sweep over Florida State.
As far as your game goes, Gina, and we've talked to you before. I've watched you on television too. You are really a great player. What do you have to work with as far as, hey, to the next level? I mean, forget Duke a second, because you've had a great run and you're not done. But as far as the next level goes, what do you have to work on the most?
I would say just staying in the moment. Obviously, after college, I do want to pursue a professional career on the LPGA Tour. And, you know, even though my game is doing really well right now, obviously there's places where I can improve. And that's something that I've been consistently working with Coach Whithouse and Coach Brooks on just the mental side of things. In terms of technical stuff, I think there's really nothing kind of striking about it. It's just simply kind of making sure I'm maintaining what I have right now. But yeah, I think for me, it's mostly just trying to stay in the present and just worrying about what I'm doing and what I can control instead of what the outcome may be.
All right. So from a mental standpoint, like that doesn't mean like you're tired of saying, hey, you're away. Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead and hit it. You're away. I mean, so when you say that for somebody at home, though, who may be playing golf and all that, when you say mentally working, like give me a for example. I mean, what mentally are you approaching?
So for example, I was 3-up through 12 holes, I think. And Beatrice, obviously being the good player and amazing player she is, she started kind of eating my lead away, and she managed to get it to 1-up. So I had to kind of reset, refocus, and try to figure out how to close out this match. Those two holes where she managed to get me, I think that was kind of just a little lack of clarity on what I wanted to do. So I think it's just like those little things. I'm making big improvements on being aware of when I'm not 100% committed. And it now, right, it's just a matter of trying to get back into the zone and quickly, figuring out what to do next.
Gina, I've often wondered when someone talks about the mental approach, especially in a sport like golf that's so singular, right? We always talk to people about, you know, who do you like watching? What did you pick up from, you know, watching someone play? Where have you gained some of your mental acumen for the game? Are there other players? Maybe your experience at the U.S. Open obviously was fantastic a couple of years ago. Is there a way you pick up stuff there from playing with the, you know, some of the best players in the world at the Women's U.S. Open? I mean, how do you develop that from other players who are successful in either golf or something else?
Yeah, you know, I after the U.S. Open, you know, I reflected a lot on what happened during the week because obviously it didn't really soak in at the moment. But it was just amazing to see some of the top players in the world, just the way they handle themselves and how they go about doing their routines and, you know, playing an extremely difficult course. And, you know, I also learn a lot from my fellow student athletes, you know, and especially my teammates. Golf is obviously a very mental dominated sport. And so being able to see my own teammates and, you know, how they handle themselves, it's really important that I, you know, take a few pointers here and there on how to better improve myself.
Gina, how'd you guys celebrate? I mean, Coach Brooks has only won about 800 of these. You've won, it seems like, a half dozen. I mean, so how'd you guys celebrate?
Obviously, with COVID protocols, we haven't really figured out the best way yet. But I'm sure we'll figure out something. But as of right now, it's to be determined.
Gotcha. A little group hug was sufficient in the short term. But I know you're not done. This is just a step in the big picture because, tell you what, your team is so, so good.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, Gina Kim, the ACC individual champion, and obviously Duke, another women's golf title. Congratulations. Best of luck, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us. And don't forget the there'll be more to come on golf because down the road you get the NCAA regionals. And, of course, Duke will certainly be part of that. And, Pack, it'll be fun to watch ACC women's golf. Florida State's good. Wake Forest is good. Those three teams right there, you got to believe, are going to have a chance.
And Virginia Tech are top 15 as well. I mean, the league is just tremendous with women's golf. And the men's tournament starts this week with four teams ranked in the top nine with Florida State, Clemson, Wake Forest, and NC State. So if you love golf, we got you covered on that front, too. The league is loaded in that one. So good stuff.
All right, stay tuned.
Player.
More to come. Oh, my God. She is so good. T12 2 years ago at the U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah, she's tremendous.
I mean, lowest amateur by a long shot. Just a tremendous player. Yeah. And they've had some good ones in Durham, as we all know. Stay tuned. We're going to pivot to lacrosse. Huge win for North Carolina. As Pack reminded me, we're in the black and chrome. Justin Anderson helped the Tar Heels to a big victory. And he will join us next from Chapel Hill. Packer and Durham's Monday rolls on, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We got more to cover, obviously. We got best and worst of the weekend coming up. There's a bunch on that front. Give me a little football. We've given you some baseball. We've given some field hockey. We've given you some golf. We've given some lacrosse. But we're not done with lacrosse, Wes, right? We're not done with lacrosse.
We've
got one more biggie for you.
Not at all. North Carolina had a huge win on Saturday at Syracuse. And Justin Anderson has been a big part of the Tar Heels' success this spring in lacrosse for Joe Bresci. And Justin, kind enough to join us earlier this morning before the show, and we talked to him about, I mean, Saturday had to be everything you want. Road win, big win, and now where you go next? But Saturday had to be special.
Yeah, it was honestly just an incredible game. We took a flight up to Syracuse the morning of the game, and we got there, and you know, the energy in that locker room was unbelievable. And once we stepped on that field in the dome was it was something special. That place is iconic, and just being able to play in front of some fans with, you know, our guys, it was just an incredible game.
It seemed like, Justin, that this was the ultimate team effort that coach has been talking about. 12 different players scored. You're taking on a really great opponent. You mentioned going to the Carrier Dome. You have not had a whole lot of success there. In fact, nobody seems to have success there. But for everybody to get a touch and a score, I mean, I'm sure that road trip coming back to Chapel Hill had to be a sweet one.
Yeah, you know, the greatest part about it was that we just came off of a very tough loss against Virginia. And this past week, we have just been grinding away. That's something that our coaches have been talking about playing a full game with both our offense and our defense. And, you know, we came together this past weekend against Syracuse, and we could not be happier with how we played, you know, as an entire lacrosse team. We didn't just play well on the offensive end. We played well on the offense and defensive end. And I think that was something very special.
Justin, we could talk lacrosse all day, but I want to talk about your personal life a little bit, if you don't mind. 11 kids in the family. I got to figure breakfast, lunch, and dinner in Vegas had to be something else.
Yeah, so it's pretty incredible just the family that I come from. I was the youngest of six boys, and my mom always wanted a little girl. So when I was 7 years old, we adopted a little baby girl. And for a while, we did foster care and ended up adopting six more kids. So there's 12 of us in total. And growing up in Las Vegas with 12 kids, it was just a incredible experience. And, you know, I can't thank my parents enough for all that they've done personally for me and for each one of my siblings, because we've lived a really great life. It's been cool.
Mm. Justin, you got a whole different angle to this, though. You're married. Your wife, Priscilla, you've been married quite a while. Are you kind of the steely-eyed veteran of life on this lacrosse team at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I feel like I've been through a lot. I'm a 25-year-old, now fifth-year senior with a wife, and my wife is, you know, probably 3 weeks away from giving birth to our first kid. And so I'm just in a different situation with the rest of the guys on the team, but that's something that's really unique to me, and something that I think we kind of enjoy on the team, and we make a joke about it every once in a while, but it's been cool. I absolutely love it.
All right, so what do the guys call you? There's got to be some fun stories here. Hey, Gramps, what are we doing, right? I mean, there's got to be a little needling going back and forth.
Yeah, you know, I get called Dad all the time, even on the field. It was funny after after we scored at Syracuse, I kind of called the offense together, just the six guys on the field, and I just said, hey, let's keep doing what we're doing. I kind of said something, and Nikki Solomon looked at me. He's like, man, you're such a dad. And I just kind of laughed as I was jogging off. We even joke about it when we're playing, you know, in a tough game against Syracuse. It's funny.
That's great.
All right, I want to clarify one thing that I heard, because Anish Shroff told me this story that your wife Priscilla is a hairstylist, and how many guys on the team hair does she still cut? Because at one point I heard it was a little more than normal. Let's put it this way: there was a lot of stuff going on there to make sure they get the haircuts with Priscilla.
Yeah, you know, she ever since we got here on campus, even my freshman year when we were just dating, she would do haircuts from my bathroom just with my teammates that just needed haircuts. And I would say almost every single person on my team has gotten a haircut from her. And that's even led from, you know, just the UNC men's lacrosse team to many of the other sports on campus. So that's been awesome.
Now, by the way, what does she charge for a cut, Justin? Just curious, because it sounds like there's a great opportunity there to make some coin.
Well, if I'm being honest, the UNC men's lacrosse team gets an incredible discount. We started that freshman year, and it just hasn't changed. So I can't say specifics, because everybody else who pays full price would be a little disappointed.
Yeah, you don't want that secret out, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you'll go from dad to something else. That'll be a whole different problem for you. And you got to – listen, between school, lacrosse, you got the baby due. You got a lot – you're juggling a lot of stuff right now. So the last thing you need is some aggravation from the outside world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, you wind this regular season down and look ahead to postseason. This league is legit. It's almost like you're already in postseason, I guess, in some respects, right?
Yeah, this season has been unlike any other season in the past, just because once we get to this point, you know, we've played teams twice now. We've already played Virginia twice, and the only time that we've ever played Virginia twice is when we start playing them in the ACC tournament. And so the ACC is legit this year. There's nothing that you can say about it that isn't legit. Every single team is amazing. You know, we had a great win against Syracuse, but that team is unbelievable, and the players that they have are seriously unbelievable. So it feels like we're in that May mood where it's time to just lock down, win every single game, and win a national championship. And so that's what we're really trying to do and really looking forward to right now.
Justin, we've asked this question really kind of a round robin to a lot of men's lacrosse players in the league. But with you specifically, North Carolina Duke immediately comes to mind as the ultimate rivalry. But in this particular year and the way this is going, it seems like every game's against a top five team. So can you categorize what is the ultimate rivalry for a North Carolina lacrosse player?
The ultimate rivalry, I think, just based on being so close to Duke, you can't say that they're not our biggest rival, just with everything that goes on with football and basketball and the rivalry there. So they're definitely a rival. But, you know, looking forward to this week against Notre Dame, I think this is a big rivalry that we've had for years upon years. And so this week is something that we're really excited about. They're an amazing team. They beat Duke, and we had a tough loss against Duke in overtime. So this is something that we're super excited about. But, you know, it's hard to say that Duke isn't our biggest rival.
All right, Justin, I got a final question here. You mentioned something that you guys flew game day to Syracuse. Kind of fly, play, come home. Man, you don't even have to check in the hotel. How was that experience for you guys?
Well, first, I can't thank the coaches enough and, you know, everybody at the UNC athletic department who allowed us to be able to take an unbelievable chartered flight up to Syracuse. The whole process of the day was incredible. We woke up, had breakfast here at like 7 o'clock, took a bus to RDU, the airport, and we drove right up to the charter flight, got in, took off an hour and 18 minutes. We got to Syracuse, and then right after the game, we waited about 30 minutes inside the locker room, drove to the airport again, right up to the plane, hopped on the plane, and we were out. So in a matter of just hours, we were up and back, and it was just an unbelievable experience. And to be able to play up in Syracuse, it felt like we didn't even leave North Carolina. It was wild.
And yeah, that's Vegas style, man. Coming from Vegas, you understand how Vegas. You roll. That's Vegas style is what that
Come
is.
Come on, that's Vegas, Justin.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Before we let you go, our traditional question, since you've been at the University of North Carolina, What has been your hardest class?
That's a great question. I would say, so my hardest class, this is just a very simple one, and I'll give you a better answer right after this. The hardest class that I've had to take was Econ 101. That was just tough on, you know, the mind. There's a lot of work for it. But the hardest and most fun class that I've had to take while here at UNC, it was called Portuguese 316, and it's capoeira. So capoeira is a Brazilian mixed martial arts slash dance. And when you get into class, you come prepared. So you're on these wrestling blue mats, and you're, you know, dancing and doing martial arts with people. And it's for an hour, 15 minutes, you are going full speed. It's awesome.
And let me ask you something. Has that helped you with lacrosse?
Well, I got to say, from a flexibility standpoint, it definitely has. That's been something that's great. I go to lacrosse practice, just get beat up, and then the next thing I do, I would go to the capoeira and stretch out and dance a little bit and practice this martial art. It was really awesome. So I would say it was a very great experience here at UNC with that class.
Well, congratulations on all your success. Wish your better half the very best and for the whole family. And again, keep up the great work.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed the visit with Justin Anderson. Unique guy and terrific team leader, it sounds like, in some ways, Pac.
Hey, dear old dad, taking care of business. Got those young pups there at Chapel Hill. I tell you what, they were great Saturday. Hey, I mean, North Carolina Syracuse men's lacrosse is normally a nail biter. That thing was woodshed job from the get-go. 21-9, your final.
Yep.
Now, the Heels really looked the part. They played great.
Let me ask you, is econ taking over as hardest class?
Well, I'm kind of surprised being the economic major from Clemson, Econ 101. I mean, that's basic stuff, micro, macro. You break it down, supply, demand, the whole world rotates around it. So we've gotten a lot of econ here lately with that question, which is kind of surprising, got to be honest with you.
Is that maybe the econ in the virtual classroom is a lot more difficult than econ, you know, kind of traditional.
Like everything else, I think you mentally have to be into the moment. You know, like Gina was talking about golf. It's the same thing with classes.
If you're
into it, hey, you know what? You just roll up your sleeves. You can't wait to dive into it. If you're not into it, it can kind of be like the wave that Mike Adler saw with that shark that just kind of knock you down and drag you to shore. Yeah. So, but we've had a lot of economic answers here. Econ 101, econ, whatever the case may be, micro, macro here the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. You got to be mentally into it. That you probably explains most of my academics.
Well, I mean,
that explains a good bit of mine.
If you just show up with you know, I got my books, I mean, I'm just going to sit here and chew gum and stare at the pretty girls.
No.
Room, you're probably going to struggle. I got news for you.
In this
particular league, guess what? Academics matters. So you better come ready to go.
Yes, I know.
Pull up your sleeves and get ready to work.
There you go.
This is not Elon. Wes.
Hey, whoa. Hey.
Let's see if you're paying attention. I'll bring your fish out. Don't worry about it. I'll bring your fish out here.
I saw the fish. Fish made a bump a minute ago.
That's right. That's for you.
That's great.
That's all you're getting.
Yeah. That's all I'm getting. All right. Until they get their own network, right?
That's right.
All right.
You'll be
invited.
Forget. I won't be.
Another great. All right. Thursday night. Pac told you earlier in the show. I'm telling you, Thursday night, here's your chance, your next opportunity to see great lacrosse. No. 2 Notre Dame and No. 4 Duke. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. I mean, this is as good as last week, which was as good as the week before and the week before that. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, it's pretty simple, right here on ACCN. When Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, continues on your Monday morning. Over the weekend, former Clemson star Trevor Lawrence, after a Sports Illustrated article with Michael Bamberger, had to respond to critics who didn't think he wanted to win. Duh. Back after this.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Yeah.
This is Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Oh, it's always good to see. It's always good to see the cutout.
It's right here. My buddy. Never leaves. Wow, there he is right there.
There he is.
Last year he had a front row seat there to watch all the Giants. And now that we got people out there, they shipped it back here to the studio where it belongs.
There it is. Yeah, there you go.
We got the cutout. We got the our Emmy Award that's got the Wake Forest top hat on top of it. You know, that's how we roll. That's what we got.
All right. We are a little more than a week away to the NFL draft. And in some respects, it can't get here soon enough. Because when stories and profiles are written, it opens the door or box, if you will, for reading between the lines. And over the weekend, Sports Illustrated, who now does a daily issue online, had a front page story with Trevor Lawrence. Now, they still have him on the newsstands, of course, and it's available there as well. But Michael Bamberger wrote the piece, and in the article, Lawrence talked about, you know, I don't have a chip on my shoulder, you know, and I don't need football to make me feel worthy, kind of showing the depth of him as a person. Well, those comments were met back with what I thought was an abundance of misguided criticism about who he is as a quarterback, and that franchises might have questions that he doesn't play with a chip on his shoulder and all these other things. Long story short, and all this aside, Trevor felt compelled to go to social media over the weekend and respond to some of the criticisms. And I thought it was surprising. Here is a three-part tweet that Lawrence issued over the weekend. It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I'm driven to be the best that I can be and to maximize my potential and to win. I have a lot of confidence in my work ethic. I love to grind and to chase my goals. You can ask anyone who's been in my life. That being said, I'm secure in who I am and what I believe. I don't need football to make me feel worthy as a person. I purely love the game and everything that comes with it. The work, the team, the ups and downs. I am a firm believer in the fact that there is a plan for my life and I'm called to be the best that I can be at whatever I'm doing. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, LOL. Pack, what are we doing here?
Couple things. Number one, I was surprised that Sports Illustrated was still in circulation. That would be number one. I just thought, being dead serious. I mean, everybody who worked there is left to go to The Athletic or somewhere else. So that's issue one. Issue two, if you want to know about Trevor Lawrence, I got an idea. Go get the 36 college games he played. He was 34-2. Won a national championship in the college football playoff every year. Won an ACC title every year. Graduated early. Loved by his teammates. Gives back to the community. I don't need to read Sports Illustrated for that. I know who this dude is. I think anybody who follows college football knows who this guy is. And for anybody in the NFL to question this guy, I would just tell you this. When the NFL draft gets cranked up here later this month, it would be my guess that every single team in the National Football League, if they had the first pick, would pick this guy. So I'm surprised Trevor even responded to such garbage, to be honest with you. But it is what it is. In this day and age, everybody's going to get criticized. The higher you go up on the food chain, the more people throw at you and try to tear you down. Trevor Lawrence and his wife just gave back $20,000 to charity, to the folks in Jacksonville. I think he's feeling pretty confident. That's probably where he's going to go in the first pick. We know he's a great player. Anybody spend any time with him knows how he handles people with class and dignity. He's a great representation at Clemson University of this league. And I hope he has an incredible career. And to have to respond to it is really, quite frankly, a waste of his time. Kind of a waste of our time even talking about him having to respond to such garbage. So that's how I feel about it.
I made a mistake here. Let me clarify. Michael Rosenberg wrote the article. Michael Bamberg is one of the talented writers of golf in this country. So let me clarify that. And has written great books, Michael Bamberg had. Michael Rosenberg wrote a really interesting article about Trevor Lawrence. And, Pac, I read the article last week, and I didn't think anything of the article that would be a glaring criticism of Lawrence. So two things here. One, is this the world-famous traditional NFL draft pre-overanalyzation of prospects?
Yes.
And
true.
Two, okay.
True.
And two, is Lawrence being criticized unfairly because he's been the number one pick in this draft for 2.5 years?
True. Wes, can we just get on with the draft? I mean, this is nothing more than people spewing, hey, did you see my hot take? Yeah, we saw it, and nobody cares. So maybe we should just make a note of it. If and when this guy goes on to become a great player, we'll come back to your comments regarding, I don't know if this guy really loves football. It doesn't, you know, come on, man. This guy is a football player. And he's been groomed that way for a long time. It didn't just happen this past year. This guy is a dude now.
Right.
Now, it doesn't guarantee any success on Sundays, but like I said, you can go get 36 tapes of the games he's played at Clemson. Pretty good player now. You know, there's a lot of folks, like I said, everybody in the NFL would love to have him on their roster, and that's good enough for me. Now, whether or not he becomes a Hall of Fame quarterback, I got no earthly idea. You know, I'm not a GM. Don't plan on being one. But I can't wait to put my feet up on Sundays and watch him develop, hopefully at Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. It seems to be the case. But, I mean, anybody taking shots at this guy apparently has never met him, never dealt with him, or talked to anybody that's played with him. And that, to me, is a neon sign. I did not read the Sports Illustrated article. Like I said, I didn't even know they were still publishing. I don't need to read the Sports Illustrated article. I don't need to hear anybody tell me, hey, I really question whether Trevor Lawrence can play or his character issues. Please, I suggest you pick up the phone or go down to Clemson and go see him. That's what I'd suggest. Or go get some tapes and watch the games. The guy is a big-time dude and graduated early, married, great teammate. I mean, what else do you want? You want every player to be like this, for crying out loud. Please.
Yeah.
Embarrassed.
I think the overanalyzation run-up to the NFL draft has become
Wes, it's the world
probably
that we
not
live
a positive.
In. We live in the world of
probably
the
not
infamous
a positive.
Hot takes. You know, let me say something outrageous, something so ridiculous that everybody on ESPN, Fox, CBS, every blog, every talk show host, did you hear what so-and-so said? And yeah, you know what? Yeah, you laugh. He's an idiot. Or hey, he's spot on. Whatever. It's a hot take world that we're living in. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Yep. There'll be a new hot take of somebody saying something ridiculously stupid. It's what we do. And, you know, you just move on. And I just wish people would take note of things that are said and hold people responsible for their hot takes. And believe me, nobody's immune to this. We all say stupid stuff. But people sometimes say it just so they hear their name heard on radio or television or in print. And they really have no idea what they're talking about. And I would say this falls under that category.
Yeah. Good point, Pac. All right. 2 hours in the books, Power Hour on a Monday next, presented by New York Life. And we start with the best of the weekend. Yep, right there at the top of the hour. We will bring you, my goodness, home run balls from Tallahassee for sure. Oh, we got Boston College, lacrosse. We got Virginia Tech. We got Boeheim, Boeheim, and Boeheim, the new law firm in Central New York. We'll cover all that and more next.
Packer and Durham.